Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Psalms, chapter 145. The book of Psalms, chapter 145. I was informed just before I came up here that Marty can testify that she got saved 41 years ago. That was today. Wow, how about that? So praise the Lord for that. And still going strong. Praise the Lord Jesus. I'm going to read in Psalm 145. I said 145. 144, I apologize. 144 and verse 9. And then I'll read to the rest of the chapter. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery, an instrument of 10 strings, will I sing praises unto thee. Amen. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished with a similitude of a palace. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your mercies and your graces that you've given us. Lord, you're always merciful. We are thankful for that. As we come to the end of this year, we rejoice in the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, we look forward to your coming. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come before this year's over with. Amen. We would not complain. We would be happy about that. Amen. Lord, if you do give us another day, help us to always rejoice in it and honor you that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother Robert asked me what is the title of my sermon this morning. They usually like that because they put it out on the web, on the internet for, as Billy says, the millions that are tuning in so they can get an idea of what's going on. I wish you a happy new year. That is the title of my message, a happy new year, and how you can be truly happy. It says here in our text, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen. Just would like to just say a few things before I get into the message. I was listening to Brother Brian. I'm not sure if he started off the good year of this new year, advising that his beloved wife is 85% perfect. Janice gave me the insight. The correct way to say that is this. When I first met Janice, she was 85% perfect. Then when I got married, she's 100% perfect. So just trying to get my new year started off on a good turn. I said that right, baby. Okay, I got that. The wife is not always right, but the wife is always the wife. So you would do well to take care of your wife. That's just good advice. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. What is it? It's a greeting used to wish someone well in the upcoming year. I wish you well in this upcoming year. It's an expression of good wishes or desires. A desire for people to find good fortune, pleasure, contentment and joy in this coming year. However, like most holidays, it has its roots in paganism. Ancient Romans would say, our God Janus proclaims a happy year. It's amazing how we get traditions come back from paganism that have an effect on us, yeah? It's simply amazing. I did a little bit of research on this because I thought it interesting. The modern celebration of the New Year, of the New Year's Day originates from the Roman celebration of the god Janus, Now, way before that, even in Babylon, they had their own traditions. And so I've highlighted here the modern celebration comes back from the Roman tradition of honoring their god Janus. I don't know if you knew, but I got involved in a little bit of study about calendars. Calendars are interesting. So before Pope Gregory the 13th established our Gregorian calendar back in 1582 AD, the world was under the Julian calendar established by the Roman Emperor Julius Caesar in 46 BC. And that is exactly when this tradition of wishing people a happy new year began, as far as I can tell. As part of Julius Caesar's calendar reform, he instituted January 1st as the first day of the year. Prior to that, the first day of the year was in March. And if you look at your calendars, you'll get September, October, November, December, and these come from Latin terms, septem, octadecente, novem, and decem. So we get that from the Latin calendar, but Julius Caesar decided to change the calendar, and he named January after Janus, his god, and they began celebrating the first day of the year, partly to honor the month's namesake, Janus, the Roman god of beginnings, whose two faces allowed him to look back into the past and forward into the future. And you'll see little coins or images, if you'll look in your encyclopedias or whatnot, of these two faces. Not two faces in the sense of hypocrisy, but the faces of the old man and the new man, the old man going out and the new man come in. And we'll see cartoons with an old man, and then you have a baby coming in. This all goes back to paganism, which is interesting. Janus was the Roman god of doors and gates and had two faces, one looking forward and one looking back. Janus became known as the god of the new year. He was sometimes known as the god of gods and the beginning and ending. Julius Caesar felt that January, the month named after his god Janus, would be the appropriate door into the new year. Fascinating paganism. But did you know that our God is the God of gods?
Amen.
And he is the Lord of lords. In Deuteronomy it tells us, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty God, and a terrible, with which regardeth not person nor taketh reward. In the Psalms it says, O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Thank God we're not under a pagan God.
Amen.
A God that's carved out with the hands of man. We serve an eternal God, an everlasting God. And he is the Ancient of Days. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the God of gods. Amen. And if you're going to be happy, you better know him.
Amen.
I don't know how happy those Romans were. And they, many times they lived in fear of their gods, and they would sacrifice many things to appease their god so they could have some type of good fortune. And they were very superstitious. I hope you're not superstitious. I hope you have confidence in the true God of gods, the true Lord of lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He said it again, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's our Jesus. He's Jesus Christ. Who are you serving today? Those old pagan gods have passed away, and God, people are looking for new gods. I got a newsflash for you. There's only one God.
Amen.
And there's only one mediator between man and God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People are always wanting to be happy. Don't you want to be happy?
Amen.
I don't think I've ever met anybody say, you know what my desire is? I want to be sad. Everybody I meet, even the saddest people, the most depressed people, they want to be happy. They desire to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. But there's a problem. Not everybody is happy. Why is it that we wish you a happy new year? We want you to be content. We want you to have joy. We want you to prosper. We want you to be fortunate. We want the best blessings of God upon you. So we say happy new year. We want something better for you. And God forbid the person who would come up to you and say, I hope you have a dreadful new year. I hope you're just as miserable as I am in this coming year. You wouldn't appreciate that. You don't like that. You wouldn't tolerate that. You want people to wish you a better year than you had before.
Yeah, amen.
And the problem is, and we see it in this text, a lot of times happiness can come with temporal pleasures. Temporal blessings. I mean, as long as the stock market is going up, we're pretty happy, especially if we invest it. As long as we still have our job, we're pretty happy. As long as we're still healthy, we're pretty happy. And the psalmist is noting that God gives us physical blessings that we can rejoice in. I mean, look at some of the things he says. I thought it was interesting that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000 in the street. How about if you were a shepherd and you had sheep and all of a sudden you got thousands in the street? I bet you'd be pretty happy, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That's pretty prosperous business. I'm going to tell off on Bill. Sorry, Bill. You're just a target, so I don't know. Bill thought he would get into the rabbit business. So, you know, how can you go wrong? You invest in rabbits. Surely you're going to get a lot. Well, it didn't work out. He just had two rabbits, and after a few months, he still had two rabbits, you know. I think that's how it went, right?
It's your story. Go.
Well, it works out to illustrate a point, right? But wouldn't you like it if you're raising rabbits all of a sudden, your intent is to raise rabbits for food, all of a sudden you have thousands of them? That's the normal way it should go? Yeah? And that, and our contentment and our joy and our happiness a lot of times depends on if we get a gain on our investment. Isn't that correct?
Sure.
When we go to work, we'd be more joyous. We would be happier if the boss gave us a raise, right? We're happy with those things. And if we lose our job and get a pink slip, our happiness is diminished. So prosperity, in a certain sense, does give happiness. And the psalmist is rejoicing in the prosperity that he experienced that God had given him. And he recognizes that every good gift comes from the Heavenly Father.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And that is a problem with a lot of people. They don't have happiness because they don't realize the source of happiness is from God.
Amen.
Let me tell you here, you're not going to have peace or happiness if you are wicked. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And one of the reasons you're discontent and not joyous and haven't found real lasting happiness is because God is not your Lord. Maybe you're still worshiping Janus. Maybe you're still following after some image that somebody has made. Maybe your God is just a piece of plastic on a wall somewhere or a painting somewhere. Listen, if your God has painted eyes, that's not the God you need. And you're not going to find happiness in a God carved by the hand of man. But if you come to that eternal God, that great God, the Almighty God, the Ancient of Days, if you come to Him, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, come to Him and you're going to find true happiness.
Amen.
There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wickedness, unto the wicked. Look, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 11. This dilemma that we find in our current day is not new. Everybody approaches a new year. Everybody comes to a time in their life when they say, you know what? I would like to be happy. I would like to be joyous. I'd like to be content with my state. I would like to be in a better state than I am currently. And all of us have choices. And all of us make decisions based on those choices. In Hebrews chapter 11, we find the story of Moses. In verse 24, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now this is a curious example, because we would say that Moses, his fortune had changed. It looked like he was going to be slaughtered at birth, but his parents put him in a river, put him in a little ark, and set him in a float in a river, and the daughter of Pharaoh finds him. Boy, his fortunes have changed. Look, he was the son of a poor slave, but now he's adopted into the family of the king, of the Pharaoh. Wow. What, how fortunes have changed. And he's growing up in the house of Pharaoh. All the lavishness, all the prosperity, all the good food, all the delights of life. And while his people were under the bondage of slavery, his fortunes were great. And we could say he was a happy man, wasn't he? Certainly we would evaluate him. We would judge, wow, look at his fortunes. He was born a slave, but now he's the son of Pharaoh. What a blessing. He's a happy man. And Moses makes a decision. Maybe he wasn't quite as happy as we thought. You ever met a rich man that's not happy? Quite a few of them, by the way. Quite a few of them. You ever meet Americans, some of the richest people in all of history, that aren't happy? Lots of them. Lots of them. You probably work with a few. Probably your neighbors are a few. There might be a few sitting here in this congregation this morning.
Amen.
Some of the most prosperous people of all of history, and yet they're not happy.
Amen.
Moses, the Bible doesn't tell us whether he's happy or not, but it does say that Moses, when he was come to years, when he came to a place where he could reason about these things, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh.
Amen.
Why? Because he was looking for happiness that endures.
Right.
You see, you can find temporal happiness living in a palace. But what happens when that palace is empty?
Right.
Many a man has sought to have a great palace, a great cars, great luxury, great fine things of life, but they invested 90, 100 hours in a week in order to obtain their things, and then they lost their wives, and they lost their children, and now they're living this big palace alone. Sad. No joy. No peace. Why? Because they sought their happiness in prosperity. Prosperity, no doubt, can bring you a temporal happiness. But Moses made a choice. It says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Let me say, if your happiness is based on a temporal pleasure, woe is you. Because that temporal pleasure just flies away. It has wings and it just goes away. Did you know that 2023 is going away? It just flew by. Just yesterday was March. It was just yesterday. But it's 2023. We're coming upon 2024. Just the other day it was the year 2000. Just the other day. It wasn't but a week ago I was getting married. And now I got children that are as old as I am. They're parents with children in college and whatnot. Time is fleeting. I think the Apostle Peter says it's like grass. It's like a flower. It's there for a moment and then bloop, it's gone. So Moses made a choice. He said, here I'm sitting in this palace of the Pharaoh. I have all the temporal pleasures I could ever desire, but I'm looking for something else. He said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, he had the long vision.
Amen.
Let's put it on the plate straight across the table. Are you ready? Buckle up. Here we go. So how do we apply this? So Moses as a young man, or you as a young man, instead of having the pleasures of fornication for a moment, Moses says, no, I'm going to invest in marriage.
Right.
That would be the right way to do it.
Amen.
That would be the happier way to do it.
Amen.
In the end, God would bless that.
Yep.
How many a young lady gave up her virtue and then found herself pregnant and abandoned?
Yep.
And the abortion mills click and click and click because people are seeking after happiness in a temporal pleasure. The Bible tells us that the marriage bed is undefiled. But adulterers and adulteresses, God will judge. Wouldn't it be amazing that you invested your time in seeking after pleasures that were just for a moment, but came to the end of the day, God judged you for that, and the wrath of God fell upon you? Would you really invest a moment of pleasure for eternity of pain? Is that a good investment? Obviously not. I can't think of anybody that would honestly say, you know what, I'm going to invest in 20 minutes of pleasure or 30 minutes of pleasure so that I can have eternity in pain. That would be foolish. Well, Moses saw the vanity of this life and he said, I'm going to invest in eternal happiness. I'm going to invest in that which it will never pass away. I think he made the right decision. Despite the pain and turmoil that he went through, I believe he made the right decision, and I believe he's going to be rewarded. I think he's rejoicing right now in that choice. He's thinking, thank God I made that choice.
Amen.
Thank God I turned down Pharaoh and turned to the Heavenly Father.
Amen. Amen.
I wrote this down years ago. A lottery winner, I guess they had a lottery here recently, millions and millions of dollars, maybe even $1 billion. I don't remember what the numbers are. I don't really pay that much attention to it, but I heard it on the news. Listen to the testimony of a young lottery winner, a young lady. She won it big. Multi-millions of dollars. Wouldn't you like multi-millions of dollars? You ever sit and lay in your bed at night and think, what would happen if I had millions of dollars? Boy, what I could do with millions of dollars. Well, she won millions of dollars. She experienced in living color your dreams. Listen to what she said. I say to myself, my life would be much, much easier if I hadn't won. People look at me and think, I wish I had her lifestyle. I wish I had her money, but they don't realize the extent of my stress. I have material things, but apart from that, my life is empty. What is my purpose in life? There's no one in the same boat as me, no one who really understands. Multi-millions of dollars in the bank account, and her life is empty. How many people do you know that spend a lifetime trying to get multi-million dollars in their bank account and they're still not happy?
Amen.
You would think that looking over life, especially us elderly people, looking over life, we realize the vanity of seeking after happiness in temporal pleasures. There are consequences for our actions. The apostle Paul said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to his spirit shall reap of the spirit, reap life everlasting. How about trade? Let's do the math on this. How about trading 80 years for eternity? How about investing 80 years in the light of eternity? I think Moses made the right choice.
Yeah, amen.
Are you making the right choice? All right. I'm not a psychologist, but I have 10 things that will make you happy. Got them right out of the Bible.
Amen.
First of all, we understand that there is no peace with the wicked. Do we understand that? God said that. The Lord of Lords said that. There is no peace with the wicked. Certainly many of you have experienced that. I know I experienced that as a 16-year-old, I should say. I came to the realization that life is vain. I didn't have the answer at the time, but I understood that my life, just like this 17-year-old girl, my life is empty. Don't know what the answer is. Don't know where to find true happiness. But one thing for sure, I am not happy. I am not content and I have no joy. But by the grace of God, I met two young ladies that were joyous. They were really happy and they really had something that I didn't have. Their cup was full and mine was empty. And you know what they did? They told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. They told me that God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Amen. They told me that God Himself descended in flesh, born of a virgin, went to the cross of Calvary and experienced agony on the cross in my place, paying for my sin and your sin. Amen. And He died on that cross. And He called out to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And He gave up the ghost and He was buried and He rose again the third day.
Amen.
And I found out that whosoever shall call upon that God, that Lord, shall be saved.
Amen.
And you know what I did? I called on His name and He saved my soul and I found true happiness.
Amen.
Look, if you will, in Romans in chapter 4 and verse 6, even as David, that's King David, spoken about in our psalm here, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Blessed is the man. We can say happy is the man that has his sins forgiven. I found out that some 49 years ago that happiness is found in the forgiveness of my sins.
Amen.
The bitterness in my soul was full. Wouldn't allow me to be happy. But when I learned about the blood of Christ and the forgiveness that's found in God, oh, what peace came upon my soul. You want to be blessed? You want to be happy? Get your sins forgiven by the God that can forgive them. The problem is that religion deceives. The religion offers you happiness and gives you sadness. Offers you forgiveness, but they can't forgive. I've known people that have gone to Mass every Friday and confessed to the priest every Friday for multiple years, and they never found forgiveness. Why? The priest can't forgive your sins. Your sin wasn't against the priest. Your sin was against God. And God alone can forgive your sins. But He's willing to forgive through Jesus Christ. I found that out. That's called the gospel. That's called the good news. And you know what? My fortunes changed. I was lost and empty. Now I'm full of the Holy Spirit. God has given me joy unspeakable.
Amen.
And full of glory. You want to be happy? Get saved.
Amen.
It will be an everlasting happiness. Do you want to be happy? What does our text say? Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Forsake Janus. Forsake the images. Forsake the saints and find God.
Amen.
Do whatever it takes. You find Him. You started off pretty good. That's a good first step, coming to the church where the Word of God is preached. Get your Bible out and begin reading it and find God, because in Him is true happiness.
Amen.
Jesus said unto the disciples years ago, He said unto the apostles, what we know as the apostles now, come ye after me and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed Him. Now this is a remarkable story, because they were professional fishermen. And they had fished all night long trying to catch some fish. Have you ever been in a business and it's just not prospering? You ever build a barn for somebody and they didn't pay? Things are just not working out. Been through some of those experiences. But on that night, this rabbi shows up on the shore and says, hey, cast your net on the other side. And they're thinking, what does this rabbi know about fishing? But they'd heard he was a good rabbi. They heard some of his sermons. And so they cast their net on the other side. And they said, come over and help us for the abundance of fish. They had their best business day ever, and he says, forsake your nets and come follow me. They had a decision just as Moses did. Best day ever. Business is prospering. Everything's going well. You know what they said? Giving up the nets, I'm following him. Because they knew that true peace was found in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. You want to be happy? Forsake your nets and follow Christ. Forsake your false gods and follow the true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Come to Christ. He said, come unto me. You want to be happy? Look over in John in chapter 13 and verse 12. You probably remember the story. He says, so after he had washed their feet. Remember, he took his garment and he washed the apostles' feet. And then now he's telling them what he did. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down, again he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given unto you an example, that ye would do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. You want to be happy? Serve others. I know that's a contradiction in your mind. I know you think, no, real life is being served. Serve me. I would like some cinnamon toast. Would you bring me some cinnamon toast? And here it comes. Oh, yes. Now, in God's perspective, who's the happy person? The person that got the cinnamon toast or the person that served it? I think what the example of Christ was, if you really want to be happy, learn to serve others. But that is such a contradiction in our mind. Because we are looking like this. We, as that pole is saying, we are the belly button of the world, the pimpek shiata. There you go. Remember that, Brian and Judy. The pimpek shiata, the belly button of the world. We are narcissists and we think only about ourselves. But it's such a contradiction of terms. Jesus comes along and he says, you really want to be happy? Serve others. Deny yourself. Serve others. That's a choice. That's a choice Moses had. He had servants. He had wealth. He had a palace. He had everything he could desire. And he chose to follow Christ.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
Jesus gives you a choice. I've given you an example. You want to be happy? Follow that example.
Yeah. Amen.
Look over in James in chapter 5. He says, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and a tender mercy. What is he saying here? He's saying that you and I need to get the long vision. Too many times we're looking right here at our circumstances. Oh, woe is me. Oh, I'm undone. I'm just having a terrible time. And there's, what did the psalmist said? That they would be happy when there, that there be no complaining in the streets. Did you see that? Boy, the life changes when nobody's complaining. But our life is filled with complaining, isn't it? I didn't get what I want. I thought I would get it immediately. Now you're telling me I gotta wait. Some of you have been disappointed on the December 25th. You didn't get what you wanted. Do you know the suicide rate at this time of the year is astronomical? Because people didn't get what they wanted. They were waiting for something that was just going to be temporal and they didn't get that, and now their life is a tragedy and they're jumping off of bridges. The Bible says we count them happy which endure. We have lots of examples. Do you want to be happy?
Amen.
Do you want to be happy?
Amen.
Do you want to be blessed?
Amen.
Do you want to be content and joyous?
Amen.
Then follow the examples that God has given you.
Yeah.
He wrote it in a book you got. You probably have 5 or 10 of them in your house. Open it up and read it, and it tells you, here's an example. Job endured great affliction, but at the end, all the blessings he had. We count them happy which endure. Get the long vision. You want to be happy? Clear your conscience. When your conscience is bothering you all day, it's hard to be happy. When you know you've done wrong, it's hard to be happy. Look over in Romans in chapter 14. He says in verse 22, "Hast thou faith?" Do you? Do you have faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, we're not talking necessarily about the law of God here. You can be happy by keeping the law of God, by the way. That's in the Bible. But we're talking about something that, you know, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, we're not sure. And God says, if you're not sure, don't do it. If you want to be happy, don't do it. Is it right to smoke or not to smoke? You have doubts? Don't do it. Should I go to that movie or should I not go to the movie? Do you have doubts? Don't do it. Should I celebrate Christmas? Uh-oh. Should I not celebrate Christmas? If you have doubts, don't do it. Well, let's bring it home. Should I celebrate New Year's or should I not celebrate New Year's? If you have doubts, don't do it. That's what he's saying. Because your conscience bothers you. Your conscience can steal your joy. Have a clear conscience. You want to be happy? How about pray instead of worry?
Amen.
How about that? Instead of biting all your fingernails off and worrying all day long and your hair turns white or off, or loose, I guess, as they say. Instead of doing that, why don't you pray? Have you tried that? Do you want to be happy? Philippians chapter 4, he says, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God. Remember, there's no peace with the wicked. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Some of us are worry warts. We're worried about everything. He says, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you.
Amen.
That's an amazing thing about our God. He cares about us. He's concerned about us. He wants us to be happy. But happiness is not found in temporal pleasures because it's just temporal. The God that is eternal wants to give you eternal happiness, and you may have to endure to get that.
Amen.
And he says, you want to be happy? Cast your cares upon him. Don't carry your own load. He says, bring it to me. Bring it to me. I'll take care of it.
Amen.
How many of you had children?
Amen.
They're over there trying to fix something and they're frustrated, they're angry, and they're sad, and then they begin crying and screaming and kicking their feet. And the daddy says, bring it to me. Just bring it to me. And he puts it together and that big smile comes on their face. You ever seen that?
Yep.
God says, bring it to me.
Amen.
But you won't do that.
Wow.
Despite insisting that you want to be happy. You won't do it. You want to carry it by yourself. You take some sort of wicked pleasure in delighting in your frustrations.
Wow.
And then complain because you're not happy.
Yeah.
He says, bring it to me.
Thank you, Lord.
You want to be happy? Think right things.
Amen.
Have a good attitude.
Right.
That same chapter 4, down in verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Some of you are the most unhappy people on the planet because you're thinking wrong.
Amen.
You're not thinking on the right things. You're not thinking about the things of God and what is virtuous and what is lovely and what's eternal. You're not thinking right. Brother Kincaid used to say, and he still does, the biggest battle is right between our two ears. You adjust your thinking and your attitude will change. You adjust your attitude and your happiness level will go up.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
Amen.
Start looking at the cup that it's half full instead of half empty.
Amen.
Change your attitude.
Amen.
Yeah, but it looks half empty to me. Change your vision.
Yeah.
I think there's a verse in the Bible that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I think it talks about happiness right after that verse. If I can remember it, I'll have to look it up. But anyway, think right things. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, he says in verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness. Somebody did you wrong. Welcome to life. That old country song, somebody did me wrong song. And we dwell on it, and we dwell on it, and we dwell on it, and our misery just gets worse and worse and worse, and we can't be happy because it grows up. It's like a root of bitterness, and it just grows up, and it fills our life, and we're constantly thinking about it, this injustice that was done. She did me wrong. He did me wrong. She shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have done that. They didn't do this for me. They didn't do that. That preacher said, she said, they didn't call me. Why did they call me? They called me. Now I'm mad. Everything, we're just frustrated. Why don't you do what Jesus did? On the cross, suffering injustice. Right? On the cross, suffering injustice. Listen to what he said. He gave you an example. He's showing you how to do it. You want to be happy? He says, Father! And I know what you're thinking. Rain fire down from heaven. Yeah, that'll make me happy. Father! Forgive them. Why don't you forgive them? Just forgive them. Yeah, but they didn't repent. Forgive them.
Amen.
Yeah, but they didn't do what I wanted. Forgive them.
Yeah.
If you want to be happy.
Yeah. Amen.
You want to be happy?
Amen.
Or do you want to carry that root of bitterness around?
Amen.
It's all about choices.
Amen.
Some of you are making wrong choices.
Amen.
You're choosing a root of bitterness instead of forgiveness. Why don't you forgive your wife?
Amen.
Why don't you forgive your husband? You know what? We have a divorce rate that's skyrocketed. Do you know why? Because husbands and wives cannot forgive each other. You can't forgive your husband. That man that you vowed before God and society that you would love until death do you part. And you can't love your wife? Why? Because she burnt your toast? You can't love her? She made you weenies and hot dogs for 3 days in a row? And sauerkraut, I should say? You can't forgive them? God forgave you!
Amen.
And you did much worse to Him.
Amen.
Do you want to be happy? Forgive.
Amen.
Jesus gave you the example. It's not like you don't have example. You can't scratch your head. I don't know how to do it. He gave you an example. He showed you how to do it.
Right. Thank you, Lord.
You want to be happy? I know some of the things are contradictory. I understand. Because we don't look it by faith. We don't look it from God's perspective. We look at it from our perspective. Why do I got to do hardness in order to be happy? Because the eventual reward is a million times. That's not a big enough number. It's a billion. That's still not a big enough number. It's eternally better.
Amen.
The end of Job was a whole lot better. Because he endured. He gave us an example. How about giving thanks? You want to be happy? Give thanks.
Amen.
In everything, give thanks.
Amen.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Having a tough marriage? Give thanks. Got a tough boss? Give thanks.
Amen.
San Antonians don't know how to drive? Give thanks.
Amen.
Tax collector knocking at your door? Give thanks.
Amen.
Doctor coming your way? Give thanks.
Amen.
Getting old? Give thanks.
Amen.
In everything, give thanks.
Amen.
Sermon going a little bit too long? Give thanks.
Amen.
Give thanks.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Let me tell you, there's one constant in life, and it's a God that does not change.
Amen.
It says of Him, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you want to be happy, invest in Him.
Amen.
Thank Him.
Amen.
Did you know that by giving thanks, it will change your happiness meter?
Yeah.
I know it doesn't seem possible. How can I possibly thank God for this situation? I can remember Brother Kincaid preaching on this very subject years ago in that old auditorium over there. Janice and I were just married. And unbelievably, that perfect woman did something that frustrated me and set my happiness mirror to zero. And I was angry. Unbelievable. A perfect woman. And I was angry with her. And a sermon by Brother Kincaid came back into my mind, I should give thanks. And I thought about the scriptures. There it is in black and white. Give thanks for all things. There it is. I can't deny it. That's what I ought to do. I should do that. I better do that. Let me try that. And I went outside of our apartment over here off a military drive, and I went out to an empty field. And I did the strangest thing. It was really strange to me. It was a new experience for me. I got out in that middle of that field, and I just raised my hands, and I said, God, I thank you for this woman you gave me. That was hard to do. And it didn't help. So I did it again. I said, God, I thank you for this woman that's frustrating me. I thank you for her. Still didn't help. But I did that for about 10 minutes. Lord, I don't understand it, but your Bible says, the Word of God says, to give thanks for all things, and so she's a good thing, and I'm going to thank you for her. I don't understand it. She's frustrating me, but I'm going to thank you. And all of a sudden, the happiness meter shot up to 100. Peace. Like a river. Can't explain it, but I'm a witness. It works.
Amen.
Have you ever tried it?
Amen.
Why don't you try it sometime?
Amen.
You're going to feel awkward. And the first few times you say it, it may not work. But keep at it. Keep at it. Do what God says, and you'll find your happiness meter will go right up there to the top. You want to be happy? Give thanks.
Amen.
You want to be happy? Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in whom? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Yes, it's hard to rejoice in our afflictions and our difficulties. Yeah, those are changing things. They go up and down. Sometimes we're at the top of the roller coaster. Sometimes we're screaming down. Sometimes we're at the top of the mountain. Sometimes we're in the valley. Sometimes it's too hot. Sometimes it's too cold. We all have these different changes, but one thing doesn't change: God.
Amen.
The same yesterday, today, and forever. Rejoice.
Lord.
If you can't rejoice in anything else, rejoice in Him.
Thank
he
you,
doesn't change.
Amen.
Is He good?
Yes.
Is he merciful?
Yes.
Is he righteous?
Yes.
Is he holy?
Yes.
Is he love incarnate?
Yes.
Has he loved you? Has he changed? Rejoice in him.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You want to be happy? Rejoice in him.
Thank you, Lord.
I said 10 things, so I'll give you the 10th. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, he said, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
How about that? Some of you sitting here this morning are thinking, you just don't know the burdens I have. You're probably right. You're probably right. I just don't understand. I would have a difficulty in understanding your particular burdens. Your burdens aren't as burdensome as my burdens. We all understand that. But you got burdens here this morning? Difficulties in life. Your joy meter and your happiness meter is down there at the zero level. There's bitterness in your soul. There's affliction. You have no peace. Jesus says, come. Come to me. Cast all your burden upon me, all your care, and I will give you rest. Let me ask you, as a reasonable person, has Jesus Christ ever lied? Can Jesus lie? He cannot lie. He's not a man that he should lie. And he says to you, come unto me. He didn't say go to the virgin. He didn't say go to the priest. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Are you laboring and heavy laden? Are you burdened this morning? He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Do you want eternal bliss? Do you want a happy new year? Find the forgiveness of God. Make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. Serve others more than yourself. Patiently endure afflictions. Walk with a clear conscience. Pray instead of worry. Think right things and have a positive attitude. Give thanks for all things. Rejoice evermore. And come unto Christ, the Prince of Peace. Do you want to be happy? I wish you a happy new year. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you that you are the God of all peace. And we thank you for these promises that you've given us, where you said, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You are our God, Lord. We pray that we would be blessed and have eternal happiness that's found only in Christ Jesus. We ask you to bless these 2 young people that are going to be baptized now. We pray that you would bless them in their lives. May they grow up to serve you with all their heart and all their mind and all their soul. Bless our meetings tonight. Bless our fellowship. We thank you for all things and we rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen. This meeting is not over. We're going to go right out here and we're going to have a baptism. After the baptism, the meeting will be over. Amen.
Amen.